There are a lot of people who don't realize that I am an introverted person. Some of you may have caught on, especially if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, that I'm very introspective. I've talked about the fact that aside from getting on a plane for travel one or two times out of a month, I don't really get out of the house that much beyond running errands. I really like to spend quiet time reading, listening to music, and of course, making content. So despite the fact that I put myself out there quite a bit, people don't realize that I am on the spectrum of being more of an introvert than extrovert. Even as a public speaker, I've had to use hacks to deal with the fact that being around a lot of people drain me. But what I learned was that it's not as draining if I'm doing it on my own terms and don't feel put on the spot. And so today I want to talk to you about how introverts can be successful influencers. This is something that I put together a YouTube video about as well, but I wanted to go a little bit deeper, and that's why we're doing the podcast today.
Are you an entrepreneur, creative pro, or in a transition to becoming one? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast, where it's all about educating and motivating you with simple and easy to implement ideas. And of course, helping you create something awesome today. And now your host, he's a YouTuber, public speaker, whose deepest regret was not buying Bitcoin sooner, Roberto Blake.
Hey everybody, this is Roberto Blake helping you create something awesome today. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited about this topic because I think a lot of people feel you have to be an over-the-top personality or an extrovert to be successful as an influencer. And I think that part of this is kind of perpetuated by the culture that you see in YouTube and Instagram and Twitch and Snapchat. I think that you see a lot of these over-the-top personalities or people who at least seem very extroverted on camera, but in actuality, a lot of people are introverts despite their success in social media. And I want to get into why that happens. I also want to give you, if you identify as an introvert, some encouragement, but also some really solid advice and tips on how you can be successful. Because we all know that there are a couple of key cornerstones of being successful if you want to be an influencer. To be an influencer, you have to be able to build and attract an audience and a tribe, in addition to just making good content usually. You have to also have opportunities in many cases to work with other people and brands. You might have to either collaborate with other people in your niche, or you might need to work with brands. And how do you get those opportunities if you're an introvert? Well, in my case, I have a background in marketing, and when I was in corporate life, I specialized in what you could call inbound marketing. So with inbound marketing, it's more about, instead of cold calling and trying to get leads and do hard sales and direct sales, what you're trying to do is you're trying to attract the type of consumer that would buy from you. You're trying to pull people in instead of chase them down. And in general, that's kind of how I've operated in my overall success and how I've navigated throughout my life, is creating opportunities and bringing opportunities to me, attracting people and drawing them in, rather than pursuing or chasing opportunities or people or things even. So when you bring the things to you as an introvert, that's much more comfortable and you don't feel put on the spot versus if you had to reach outside of yourself for those things. That is where hesitation and fear and anxiety and awkwardness and discomfort comes, at least for many of us. There's also the fact that you sometimes prefer to operate in small groups. I've always only ever had a small, close circle of friends. I can deal with attention, but it's an effort on my part. I can deal with even being a public speaker, but there's an effort that's made on my part. It's training and conditioning. It's not my natural comfort zone. I'm just someone who doesn't always have to be comfortable. As a former cross-country runner and track champion, discomfort is something I've learned to live with to get things that I want. And there's a threshold of how much comfort are you willing to sacrifice in order to be successful. And I really believe that success often demands sacrifice. A lot of people don't want to own that, but I find that's fundamentally true for the far majority of people, that success demands sacrifice. Now, what you sacrifice is completely up to you, and I don't think that you have to sacrifice everything in the name of success, but I think if you're an introvert, you need to really take inventory and stock of, like, where are you in terms of that level of self-awareness as to what makes you comfortable, what makes you anxious, what you like to do versus what you can live with. I think that those things become very important in that conversation. Now, one of the things that I really want to hit on, because this has to do with the financial success of being an influencer, which I think is often overlooked, is sponsorships and brand deals. This year alone so far, I've done about $45,000 worth of brand deals. I don't think people realize that, because I don't get the most views out of everybody because I'm not over the top. I'm not sensational. I also don't have, you know, the status of being a millionaire to just get attention that way. Yet. So there's only so many things that I can comfortably do operating within my own personal sense of integrity around my content. And it's nothing flashy or fancy. I'm also not like super young. So it's like very hard sometimes to break through to that audience. So in my case, how do I get high paying brand deals? I get high-paying brand deals because I positioned myself as a resource, an educator, and an authority. And so brands want to align with me. I also very ruthlessly protect my reputation, and I try to do everything I can fairly, but I also am ruthless in how I negotiate and position myself in terms of what I will and won't accept. And because brands come to me because of the content that I make, the quality, the production, and my candor, they know that they have to come to me with certain terms. My positioning as an entrepreneur also gives me leverage, because most people that are doing entrepreneurship and business type content, and again, a lot of them have the leverage of being millionaires, they don't take brand deals because they'd rather directly market and sell their own product to their audience. And I prefer to do that as well, especially with the awesomecreatoracademy.com stuff. I do prefer to market myself rather than market on behalf of someone else. However, there are brands that I do want to work with and that I feel alignment with, and there are deals that I am willing to take, but my leverage being one of the only people who might say yes, my leverage being a voice and authority in the community and having put in, you know, 6 years in video content in YouTube, done over 2,000 live streams across multiple platforms, spoken and did 70 plus presentations, and now having a podcast. These are things that put me in a very small tier of people that brands could utilize effectively if they're aligned with entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs or up-and-coming influencers. There are only so many people of substance and credibility that they could reach out to, and the far majority of them will say no. Now, I also have my own coaching and products and services and things that make me a substantial amount of money that I could market instead of marketing on behalf of a brand. So I have leverage and I can negotiate a better deal. I also have the leverage of being able to say no. I want to do an entire episode dedicated to the power of saying no, but because I already have an established on the record six-figure business with proof, there is the option for me of simply turning down money. When you are a micro influencer or when you aren't financially stable, the option of turning down money seems unreasonable or seems absurd to you. But when you already are reasonably comfortable, you have the power to say no. And when people are aware that you are reasonably comfortable, or you make it clear to them that you could easily do something else or nothing at all and be fine, you have all the leverage, because at that point, they're trying to get a yes from you instead of you trying to get a yes from them. And what most influencers that are extroverts do is they pursue and they chase something and they're trying to get a yes, versus when you attract something to you, all you have to do is filter. Once you have a funnel, all you have to do now is filter. And so I prefer to build a funnel. And the way that I, you know, as an introvert, build a funnel and create more opportunities is through creating an absurd amount of content and being active in multiple social media platforms. And again, that's easy for me because, again, I'm doing that from a place of safety. I'm doing that from here in my perfect home office that I designed to make me happy and comfortable and feel safe. Versus that's something that's more challenging to do outside of that environment. So it's easy to make a lot of content and to be on camera all the time as an introvert because I'm doing it in my safe place. It's easy to make all this content and to do live streams and do all of that because I'm interacting with people through the safety of a computer screen and I can ignore the haters or trolls, or I could push back and be kind of a wise ass to them. So, I mean, that option exists. So there is, and again, it's much easier and more comfortable to do that here, you know, at the office than to do that, say, in public. I haven't ever been heckled on a stage, but I already have kind of a protocol for that too, that mostly just revolves around being empathetic but also being a wise ass, and if it escalates, to just invoke security and to remind people that, well, you know, this is less about you trying to get a rise out of me and more that you're disrupting and interrupting an experience for other people. And I'm sure all of the people here in the crowd don't really appreciate it. It's like, you know what? You wanted attention so badly that you didn't care about ruining their experience. It's like, you're not hurting me, you're hurting them. Like, that turns things around. That's just another hack for you guys. Like, when you flip the script and it's not about you, but it's about the community, it's about the audience, it's about the viewers, it's about, you know, the people who either gave their time to be there or paid to be there, and somebody lessening their experience, all of a sudden that heckler that felt really brave and wanted attention just got the worst kind of attention and got called out in the worst way. So that's not usually what they're looking for, because they want your attention. They kind of would want the attention a little bit of whoever they can get it from, but not like that, not like this. So yeah, just something to think about. Going back to how we establish ourselves as successful influencers. So the monetary component of negotiating brand deals is important, and that comes down to, again, establishing authority, inbound marketing, and I think being known for something and being maybe dominant in your niche or your vertical. When it comes to building an audience, I think it's also very similar. I focus primarily on how I can be discovered through search or through community. And that's a big focus for me for exactly the same reasons. Is I want intentional people. I want people to be seeking what I'm offering. So putting it out there and making it available instead of, again, trying to go out and push. I pull people in by virtue of attracting them with something that they already want and making it available and accessible and then making it a good experience. So for me, from a content standpoint, that's why I leverage search and I'm not into trending topics. Trending topics would require me to chase versus staying in my lane and doing what feels comfortable and appropriate to me. Now, again, success sometimes requires you to sacrifice comfort. That's where I think a lot of extroverts and people of that nature, and some introverts too, will chase trends or try to do things that are popular that have attention around them, which there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. There is nothing wrong with that tactic. It's just for me, it's not my natural default. It's not what I would want to do. And I feel it could come off as fake or phony or inauthentic. And so I prefer, you know, even though there's not as much in terms of views from it, search attracts usually intentional people and older audiences and, frankly, typically more affluent people, buyers. And it's better to have a smaller niche market of people who have disposable income or are buyers or committed than people who can't invest with you that just have an abundance of time on their hands. And again, that sounds dismissive, and there's nothing wrong with anybody in the audience who's never financially supported what I've done, what you've done, or what anyone else has done yet. But you want to know that that option is on the table, because the only way to be successful at this is not to just have millions of fans and have the clout. I think people really, especially young people, get caught up in this notion of clout. Cash over clout, my friends. If you're listening to this, the odds are you're an adult. You've got bills to pay. Maybe you have student loan debts. Maybe you have a mortgage and everything like that. Cash over clout. Timberland said it best. I'd rather be paid than popular. And that's not something that a lot of younger people or the broader community sometimes appreciates. One, a lot of them don't want to pay for anything. And then two, a lot of them, they are emotionally leveraged in wanting acceptance so much that if it came down to it, they would buy their way to acceptance if they could. And a lot of them, you know, will try with buying, you know, fake fans and fake views or fake follows and likes and so on and so forth and all the things. But today, people are so desperate for acceptance and validation and attention that they'll do anything to get it, even go into debt or go into the hole. And that's wildly impractical, but that's part of being emotionally leveraged and driven there. Now, if you're somebody who's older, you have different priorities. If you're somebody over 25 or 24, like, you have different priorities, especially if you have a family. So there's that. Or if you're in debt, or if you've just always financially struggled, you understand the value and the importance of money. And so part of, like, in my mind, being a successful influencer is being sustainable and being paid and being financially free and not beholden. And therefore, for me, it's not about how many followers you have. If you want to be a successful influencer, you'd be better off being an influencer over a very small vertical or niche market, big fish, small pond, but a big fish, small pond full of very, affluent fish. You'd want affluent fish in your pond. I guess that's the way we're going with this. But yeah, I think that people underestimate how, let's say, some of the people who are influencers in the real estate space or in the fitness space. I see people who are fitness instructors in social media that are crushing it. And people are like, why do you call that person a successful influencer, Roberto? They only have 20,000 followers. I'm like, yeah, genius. They have 20,000 followers and make $250,000 a year versus people I know that have 500,000 followers and are struggling to pay rent. And when I throw that in people's face, like, people, some people get offended or feel awkward or a certain kind of way about that. But again, there's this absurd notion that if you build it, they will come, in the sense of building a large audience and then you will get success. To some extent, those numbers would be true if there were enough people in your audience that are buyers. The problem is, at scale with social media and reaching everybody, especially if you go for a younger demographic, the conversion rate numbers are lower. And then what you can sell to those people have terrible, terrible margins, terrible margins. And so it's hard to make the money that you need to be a successful influencer that way, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. Now, as an introvert, if you skew that way and you're more introspective, you know whether you're comfortable selling or not. And therefore, you may not be somebody who can close. I am an introvert, but I also spent much of my early childhood learning the gift of gab and realizing that's my true nature and that I can do those things one-on-one. It's crowds that intimidate me. It's going to parties and being afraid to go walk up to, you know, a woman I find interesting or to somebody who looks very intimidating, you know, or themselves has a large crowd of people around them. That's what's off-putting for me. One-to-one is not nearly as bad, or talking to one or two people is not nearly as bad. And if there's the opportunity to benefit financially, I can get out of the need to be comfortable and go close the deal and get very comfortable in that mode, because for me, it's about delivering value. Where I get out of my awkwardness in my shell is when I'm able to deliver value and where I'm able to help people. And so for me, salespersonship comes down to, well, let me educate you about what you're gonna buy. Let me give you value. Let me hear you out. Let me see what you're trying to find. Let me see how I can help you. Being of service is a really good hack for being an introvert, in terms of, I think a lot of us feel very good about being knowledgeable and being able to genuinely help people, and that it helps break us out of our shell because we feel confident in our expertise or in our experience. And that's a really good foundation for us. So with me, I can do sales and not everyone can, but it's why I also have embraced and want to help people grasp how passive selling works, where you create opportunities for people to buy, but you don't hard sell them. You make them aware that something exists, and if they're interested in it, they can get it. And by doing that, or when people ask you, hey, where did you get this? Or hey, what do you have? Or hey, how do I get that? Or how do I accomplish that? And then you position them against the thing that you're selling or that would make you money. I think creating the opportunity to buy is one of the most important things an introvert can do, because if the opportunity exists, then the possibility for converting exists. Versus you may not be the type of person that's very salesy and probably not very good at it, and wouldn't be able to close the deal with confidence. So just keep that in mind. That's why I really like affiliate marketing and passive income, is because it's definitely something that I leverage around my personality and what I'm comfortable with, because I'm more comfortable with one-on-one sales than trying to pitch to a bunch of people all at once. I think that the exception might be, I think I do okay with it in live streaming because I can demonstrate the value in a live stream of what I'm talking about and I can show you. And that's harder to do if you try to do like a scripted commercial or something of that nature. It's a little bit more challenging. I mean, I'll give you a primary example. Even here on the podcast, asking you guys for something is a little bit more challenging because you don't have the context of my facial expression. You can't, you know, see me talk with my hands, and there's nothing for me to pop up on a screen, right? So it's very difficult or challenging sometimes to plug something, whether it's useful or not. A case in point, I would really love to see more of you work with me in awesomecreatoracademy.com, either by joining the membership. We have a group membership program where you get to be part of a private Facebook group. You also get exclusive access to my YouTube training videos. And these are very different than what I do on my actual channel, because I'm not beholden to an algorithm. You also get a lot of other information on building your own online digital products and things of that nature. And with my live Facebook Q&As, you can ask me questions every week. And then every month we get together on a group coaching call. We get together on a video conference call. So that's, you know, the Awesome Creator Academy membership. Now, the problem with like telling you about that here in the podcast is I can't show you. So that's like a challenge to, one, be comfortable to pitch it. Two, it's a challenge without having more to show you because of audio versus video, in terms of the value and the benefit, or even just like seeing me in my face and then connecting emotionally with me. So, you know, that's something that I think about, is how do we as influencers, especially if you're more introverted, how do you find a comfort level to sell to your audience? I've listened to a lot of you in the comments or in emails, and you tell me you want to make more money. You just are afraid to sell to your audience. What if people call you a sellout? What if people feel you're inauthentic? What if people say, oh, you're just in this for the money? I think that I really despise those kind of assertions, because money is important. I'm not one of these people who will go on about all the ways money can't buy happiness, because I know that a lot of the pain and hardships that I experienced in life, that my siblings experienced in life, that my parents experienced in life, you know, it came down to money, honestly. Money is an important part of our lives, and to attack or diminish people, like, hey, maybe you don't want to buy something. If you don't want to buy something, just don't buy it. You know, you don't have to open your mouth and say anything. You could just not buy and just enjoy the free content. Oh, boo-hoo, you had to endure 15 seconds of a sales pitch in exchange for 15 minutes of free content. You pay $9.50 to go to a movie and sit through 20 minutes worth of ads. Get over yourself, right? Like, I mean, that's how I feel about it. Other people might disagree, but I feel that people who create things, a lot of times they're not asking for a lot. They're very happy to create things, but it's not sustainable if they don't make money. And I'm trying to break the mindset of the starving artist and the idea that you should just do it and keep giving of yourself and getting nothing in return. expecting nothing and getting nothing are two different things. Putting yourself in a position of leverage to where you can get something or be offered something, or again, working up the confidence to ask for what you feel you deserve, are really valid and important things. And there's not enough conversation around that. Everybody just wants to know hacks on how to grow and build an audience instead of how to build their skills, their confidence, how to negotiate for themselves, how to advocate on their own behalf as an artist so that they don't starve. And that's kind of where I want to take the podcast and even a lot of the YouTube content in terms of how do we combat starving artist syndrome? How do we position people to be successful in the creator economy? It's the thing I'm probably most protective of. It's the conversation that probably I'm the most interested in. And, that's kind of where I see things heading. I think that it's amazing that people who otherwise would have never put themselves out there, people like myself, can be successful as introverts, can influence tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people and make a real impact in their lives. And at the same time, we can do it from a place of comfort and security, talking about things that interest us and the things that we love and that we're excited about and that break us out of our shells and give us more confidence. I'm someone who hated public speaking. I hated public speaking in school because I felt embarrassed and I was picked on a lot and people made it a not great experience for me. Like, it's amazing that at the same time, I love the gift of gab. I love talking to people about things I'm excited about. I love asking questions of them. I love hearing their stories. I used to talk to a lot of elderly people and I used to what's it like to be old? Like, I used to, like, you know, it sounds a little rude, but it's like, I wanted to know. I'm like, well, I'm going to be old one day, so I might as well find out what it's like now. There's like, that's just how my brain works. I've always been a curious person. I'm very conversational, but at the same time, I, like anybody else, I have a fear of rejection or being hated or disliked, just like anybody else. Finding confidence to endure that possibility and the reality of it, especially having been bullied, those are things that I want more people to talk about and that I think I can give some encouragement and advice about if I could get past all of those things and become, in all modesty, like a world-class public speaker and speak at so many events in such a short period of time. Build a successful brand within YouTube and a following in all my social platforms and work up the nerve, even though I'm not the best audio engineer in the world, to have the audacity to do a podcast and really feel like it doesn't suck, then yeah, I think that if I can do those things, there's a very good possibility that many of you have untapped potential. And the thing that's holding you back most of it all is the fear that you can't do it. And so I think it's important when people show up and they do put themselves out there, it represents something. It's like me being out there has inspired a lot of introverts, nerds, people with ADHD, people, with their own issues and frankly, creators of color to step up and to realize that, hey, someone like me can do this. Somebody is crushing it out there and I have something in common with them. Why can't the thing we have in common be that we're successful? And that's something that matters. I love seeing how many people are stepping up and coming into this space and using it as a way of personal development. I feel that for me, I gained a lot of confidence by putting myself out there on social media and being on camera that I wouldn't have had any other way. And I'm very grateful for the receptiveness to that, because as someone who was rejected in life, I was embraced on the internet. That's the interesting thing. And it's why some of us care more about our relationships in the internet and the online community and the online culture as a whole, because the reality is that the community and culture and people we had in real life weren't giving us what we wanted, weren't giving us what we needed. And as much as people don't like it, why would we accept, settle, or embrace or prioritize those things that aren't giving us what we want and need versus a place and relationships that are? That seems like a good jump off point for like another episode, maybe, the online world versus the real world or something of that nature. I'll figure out a title. But guys, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the podcast. I hope you really got something out of it. And I hope you understand that if you are an introvert or you're somebody that whatever your issues are, it doesn't mean you can't be successful in life. It doesn't mean you can't be successful as an influencer and impact and change the lives of others. So if you're out there and you're listening to this and maybe you have a disability or maybe you struggle with mental health or mental illness, or maybe you think differently than other people, I want you to know that opportunity exists for you and that defeat does not exist in this dojo. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. Please, if you enjoyed the episode and you got to the end here, give it a rating. I would hope for 5 stars over in Apple Podcast or iTunes or whatever we're calling it now. And please leave a review. Help this become one of the number one podcasts in entrepreneurship and creativity. We're really trying to get the podcast up to 300 ratings, because that'll really tip the scales for us. So if you could help out with that, if you're listening to this and you've never given a rating or a review, we'd love to hear from you and get some feedback. Also, thank you to Andy Rivera. Andy is somebody that I brought on to help with admin work and to help with getting the episodes and show notes up over at createsomethingawesometoday.com. So shout out to Andy. Andy, I hope you appreciate the plug. Anyway, guys, I really hope you have a wonderful day wherever you're at. Go out there and create something awesome today. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. Hungry for more creative and practical ideas? Why not visit createsomethingawesometoday.com and access all resources and links mentioned in today's show, as well as special bonus content that Roberto regularly crafts for you. Now, go create something awesome today. CreateSomethingAwesomeToday.com.